We're going to be in a lot of passages tonight, and I have them printed out, so I'm not going to flip to all of them. I did bring my Bible, so I didn't feel like a heathen, at least I have that up here with me. We're going to talk about happiness tonight. This is about 2 school years ago. I spoke to the college and high school about this, so if they weren't sleeping, they might recognize some of this. But I've added to it, and I think improved it some, but happiness. There's a couple words that get translated in the King James Version that really just mean happiness. The word is translated often as blessed, but there's other words that are translated as blessed. Sometimes the Bible talk about somebody, God blessing somebody, like bestowing something on them, or people worshiping God and say, blessed be the Lord. That's a different word in the original languages. So I was looking at places where the Bible says happiness, things that will make us happy in the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Here's some examples of where blessed or happy, or the word blessed is used in English, but it doesn't mean happiness, just to give you an example. Genesis 1:22, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. God was bestowing something on them. Psalm 18, it says, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. They're praising, giving adoration to God. So a lot of these words are blessed, is the word that's used, and we're looking for the ones that in the original languages mean happy. And I've tried to compile them into some sort of organized fashion so we can learn from them. I have a list of some preliminary points and then a long list of places happiness shows up and the connections with it. And then we'll go back to the preliminary points. So if you need to get an app, listen to the preliminary points, and then you can glaze over. And then we'll come back and hit the preliminary points again. I really don't want you to take a nap, but I don't want this to just be a listing of every place happy shows up in the Bible. But I do want, there's a lot of them, and there's a lot of things that God tells us will make us happy. So I'm wanting to give a fairly comprehensive look at it, but I think we can draw some basic principles from it. We'll start with those and end with those. So let's pray, and then we'll look at it. Lord, we thank you for your word and how we can learn from it. Lord, thank you that you do want us to be happy. You don't want us to live this life in misery and pain, but a joyful life. And Lord, we ask that you'd help us as we look at things that you say will make us happy, that we'll evaluate our lives and see if those are the things that we're seeking after, or those are the places we're looking for happiness, or have we bought into the lie that the devil and the world feeds us, that happiness rests other places. Lord, again, thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, let me start with some preliminary points. The first is that, to use an analogy, we're going to be looking in our car's owner manual. You get your owner's manual out, and it tells you when to change the oil and different things. Just recently, I changed the transmission fluid, and my wife said, are you sure you should do that? Right? I said, well, the owner manual, it says to do it at this many miles, right? So I listened to the owner's manual, not my wife, right? but we're looking at our owner's manual from God, and it's easy for us to second guess, right? But really when you say, you know what, this is what God says, I'm going to go with that, and don't listen to the evil people that, I'm sorry, that try to get us to go astray. All right, so we're looking at Owner's Manual. All right, I just recently started into this book, Pastor Olson's book, Adventures in Africa, and the first chapter, very revealing, I'm kidding. He tried to find happiness in the wrong places. Here's a couple of quotes. During my teen years, I lived an ungodly and selfish life. I thought life was all about having fun. I failed to realize that God had a purpose for my life, and I was oblivious to it. He followed the path that the world and Satan pounds into us of seeking happiness other places, and it didn't work for him. All right, so that's the first point. We're going to look in the Bible, our owner's manual, and see what God says will make us happy. All right, second point I already mentioned is that God does want us to be happy. Right? God doesn't promise us a flippant, frivolous life, But happiness is something we can have. I did a couple of examples. Joy is listed in the fruit of the Spirit. Right? We should have that. John 10:10, at the end of the verse says, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. John 5:11, that ends with, that your joy may be full, or might be full. And that phrase is repeated three other times in the Bible. So God does want us to be happy, right? The next point here goes right along with that, but God wants us to be happy, but he never directly tells us to seek after happiness. If our goal in life becomes, I'm going to be happy, we're missing the picture. God does tell us a lot of things that make us happy, but that's not our life's goal. We're going to, you know, fearing God, obeying God. There's a whole list of things that God says will make us happy. We focus on those. The happiness is something that comes along with it. And if we're miserable, then we need to evaluate ourselves. Am I seeking happiness someplace else? So God never directly tells us to seek happiness. Our flesh wants to seek after things that we think are going to make us happy. That's a mistake. You might have heard people talk about their children, if they're getting married. Oh, I just want them to be happy. No, I want my children to obey God. I want my children to fear God. The happiness will come along with that. So anyway, God doesn't direct us to seek happiness just as happiness. All right, another preliminary point is we do not need every one of these things to be happy. All right, so it's a long list, so you shouldn't sit there and think, well, I don't have everything on that list, so there's my excuse. No, any one of these, God says, should make us happy. All right, next preliminary point is most things on this list that God says will make us happy are within our control or in God's control. It's not something like, you know, like if people treated me nicer, then I could be happy. No, it's either something that we were trusting God, it's in his control, or it's in my control. Right? We can't look at other people and say if they would do this or that. It's in our control. It doesn't depend on other people. We can't blame other people if we're not happy. We can't even, I have in my notes here, bad things might happen to us. But that doesn't mean we can't be happy. God doesn't connect happiness with our circumstances. I was looking for some exceptions to this. The Bible does mention to us that having good parents is a source of happiness. So there is something that's out of our control. It's an exception. And God mentions being persecuted for righteousness' sake. So, you know, you don't get to persecute yourself, so I guess you have to rely on other people to do that. But you can be righteous, right? And when that comes. So the point is, it's in our hands or in God's hands. If we're miserable and unhappy, we can't blame other people. We can't blame our circumstances because it's within our grasp. All right, next preliminary point is physical things don't make the list. God never says, you know, the latest phone, this isn't it. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say a certain car. Doesn't say, my children are laughing. Physical things don't make it. They're not on the list. That, it consumes a lot of our time. We have to live in a physical world. So, you know, we have to work, we have to eat, etc. But that is not the source of our happiness. And then the last one, last preliminary point is if we're not happy, then we need to adjust our perspective. Something's wrong, right? I tried to think of some of what could be the problem. It could be that we love the world. You love the world and you're seeking after the world. That's not a source of happiness. You'll be miserable. I like the verse that talks about where your heart is, there is your treasure. I think I just misquoted. But the thing that you're thinking about and consumed with, that's where your treasure is. And if that's this world, we're going to be miserable. It could just be a sour, bitter spirit. It could be other sin. If we're not happy, we can't blame God. He's going to hold up his end of the bargain. It's something with us. God does want us to be happy. All right, so we'll come back and review those at the end. Now let's look at some of the things the Bible tells us will make us happy. All right, nap time if you really need it. I'm kidding. All right, let's start in Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. All right, this is, you're welcome to flip the phone. We'll read down through them quickly. This is an amazing list if you think about it. The things that God says will make us happy. That word blessed there is happy. All right, so happy are the poor in spirit. Now think about this. That was verse 3. Poor in spirit. The next verse says, they that mourn. And it's not on my list, but our owner's manual has that there. The meek. It goes on to say there, they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's convicting for me. I can get up and read my Bible, and I can have my devotions, but I can't always say that I hunger and thirst after righteousness. Right? But God says that person's happy that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. The merciful. We're all about people being nice to us and everyone else getting what they deserve. Right? God says we should be merciful. All right? And that makes us happy. Pure in heart. Pure in heart. Basically, what you're thinking and feeling inside is the same as what people see on the outside. You shake someone's hand and say, man, so good to see you. And inside you're thinking, you're an idiot. Right? What's happening inside doesn't match what's happening on the outside. And the person that's pure in heart, those are the same. Not being a hypocrite is another word for it, but pure in heart, I like the picture. What we think and feel on the inside matches what people see on the outside. Pure in heart. And that makes us happy. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. That wouldn't be on my list of, you know, list 10 things that you want to do on vacation that'll make it enjoyable. I want to get, you know, stoned or something. But God says, persecuted for righteousness' sake. All right, and then the last one there, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. And then a not insignificant word, falsely, for my sake. Right? That's a list. We could stop there and just meditate on that. Those are things that God says make us happy. How much of our time is spent seeking other things outside that list? And that really is just the start of the things that the Bible indicates for us. So the Beatitudes. All right, the next group, I've kind of tried to clump these together to consolidate some. The next thing that God says will make us happy is trusting in God. Trusting in God. Now, that implies that there's going to be reason to trust him, right? Emily and Ann drive a 96 Honda Accord that it looks like it was maybe made in 46, right? I don't put a lot of trust in that thing. If I had to, you know, drive to Detroit, well, not Detroit, I want to live. If I had to drive, to Virginia, to see my parents in West Virginia, I would, there would be a little fear in my heart trusting that car. All right, but we have to trust God. I mean, there's going to be times where there's something to trust him for. Right? We're not going to have a life without problems. It's in those times where there's a problem and we have to trust God. That's where we're happy. Also in this book, Pastor Olson talked about being $4,000 in debt and, you know, trying to get on deputation to go to the mission field. And he was given a check for $4,000. Right? Now, he was put in a place where he had to trust God, and God took care of him. Trusting God makes us happy. Let me give you some verses. Psalm 2:12, the second half, it says, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That's straightforward. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The first half says, God is good. Right? If you have a brother, they're not always the most trustworthy people. They're not always good to you. All right? Me and my brother, I like my brother. Hopefully he doesn't listen. But sometimes he was just mean. All right? God isn't like that. My sister was, ruled with a cast of iron. So anyway, the point is, God is good. We can trust him. It's not like God says, trust me, and man, am I going to mess with you. No, God says, trust me. I'm good. All right, Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. So blessing, making the Lord your trust makes you happy. The second half, respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. The thought there is facing or giving regard to the proud and such as turn aside to lies. Just recently, I was trying to remember exactly the details, but I was doing something, driving, and I passed somebody, and they were kind of in the wrong spot in the parking lot, so it was like, you know, they were kind of embarrassed. And then I circled back around, and they didn't even glance at me. They just looked straight ahead, you know, like there's nobody over there. Right? That's the idea. The proud, those that turn aside to lies, we don't even turn and give them attention. In today's world, I think that also applies to online. Why are we turning and looking and giving attention to the proud and those that turn aside to lies? There's going to be nothing good there. It's lies. Why get yourself all torqued up? Trust God. God is big enough to see what they post online. He's got the latest phone and the latest computer. He can see it all. All right, we can trust him. We don't have to. God says, don't give them attention. Don't even glance at them. Don't respect them. All right, Psalm 85:4. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways of them. So God is our strength. Again, the idea of trusting him. Isaiah 30, verse 18. I like this verse. Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Now thinking that the verse said that the Lord waits, looking for ways to be gracious and merciful. This God that says we need to trust him, he's not up there with a hammer, just waiting. Oh, this guy decided to trust me. Let me pound him now. He's waiting to be gracious and merciful, if we'll wait on him. Sometimes we're not willing to wait on him. Gracious and merciful. All right, so the point there was, general point, was trusting God. That makes us happy. We are going to have in life times where there's a problem. And us turning and trusting in God makes us happy. All right, let's go on. Another thing the Bible says makes us happy is obeying the Bible. All right, Psalm 1, my favorite chapter in the Bible, I think. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's the happy person. I like Dr. Sorensen's summary. Stay out of the world and in the Word. That makes us happy. Obeying God. Psalm 106:3. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. That's the happy person. Psalm 119. Blessed are the, this is verses 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Again, this is the happy person. That word blessed is happy. Luke 11:28. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. That's a happy person. John 13:17. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. And I've got a whole other page of verses here. I didn't think I'd read them all, but God's real clear. Obeying God makes us happy. Probably I don't have to convince you of that, because you know the times where you've drifted off into sin and the guilt and the pain that's there. And we come back and obey God, and there's happiness. All right, let's go to another one. God tells us that fearing him brings happiness. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Pretty straightforward. Fear God. Many of you had a father like mine that, mom was one thing, but, you know, when she said, I'm going to let dad deal with this. Oh, no. All right. It was just, Armageddon was about to begin. There was some fear of dad. And that motivated me. There's times where I would want to do something. I thought, you know what? I don't want to explain this to dad. Right. I'm going to stay away. The fear of the Lord, that makes us happy. Psalm 128, 1 and 2. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Fearing God. Psalm 28, 14. Happy is the man that feareth alway. Right? Fearing God. I look through Proverbs at things that the Bible connects with the fear of the Lord. There's a pretty good list of things there. So God tells us it makes us happy. These are some other things that come along with that fear of the Lord. God says it's both the beginning of both wisdom and knowledge. It says it's to hate evil. It says, the Bible says it prolongeth days. The Bible says it's a place of refuge, a fountain of life. It says it's better than great treasure. Right? So this idea of fearing God, it's an integral part of our life, but it also brings happiness if we fear God. It keeps us away from sin. It keeps us right with God. So fearing God. All right, the next one, being corrected by God. Now this one, being corrected. If we think about the fact that God says we're happy when we obey, if he has to correct us to get us back to here, well, that's a good thing. He knows we're better off when we obey. So he's going to correct us to get there. Job 5 says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Psalm 94, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest them out of thy law. God corrects us. That should make us happy. Sometimes there's a little bit of pain involved there. But the fact that God corrects us is a source of happiness. I skipped over a verse here. Let me finish reading it. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. Given the idea that God brings the punishment, and then he also brings the healing. He'll give us a wound and be right there to take care of us. He's not like, Mr. Wright's gone, so we can talk about him. When I was in college in soccer practice, when Mr. Wright showed up, you know, life was over. You were going to run until you died, and then he was going to kick you and tell you to get up and keep running. There was no mercy. It was just, he was going to hurt you, right? And God's not like that. He might have to correct us, but it says there, he bindeth up, his hands make whole. The correction of God is something that makes us happy. All right, another thing that God says makes us happy. This one should be obvious, I think. When our sins are forgiven. Psalms 32, 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. The same thing is quoted in Romans 4. If you're miserable and you're saved, stop and think about that. Your sins are forgiven. You're going to stand before God, and he's going to view you as sinless. He'll see Christ's sinless perfection and let you into heaven. It's easy to kind of let that glaze over. Oh, yeah, I had four kids on my bus get saved at NBT. Their sins are forgiven now, all right? That is a tremendous blessing, and it's easy for me, and I'm sure others, to say, oh, yeah, I got saved a long time ago. No, my sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. Should make us happy. Sometimes the swirl of life's activity makes us forget that, but it should make us happy. All right, let me give you some other things. I won't necessarily read all the verses for these. But there's other things that God says makes us happy. Considering the poor. I'll read this verse. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. Right? The poor there, it could be the financially poor or just somebody that's not very well off. You know, problems come in their life. You know, it doesn't have to be just finances, but problems. The person that's considerate and thoughtful of that person is happy. That's not my natural position, but it's something I can do. Considering the poor, that's mentioned other places. Dwelling in God's house, Psalm 84. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. We're here. Should be happy. We're in God's house. In Luke, the Bible tells us this. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Not being offended by Jesus. You know, you're out someplace and you're afraid. If you say, you know what, I'm a Christian, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Like, we shouldn't be offended. He's taken us to heaven. We're blessed when we're not offended. All right, Psalm 127 says, blessed is a man who has his quiver full of children. Right? That's a source of blessing. Something that should make us happy. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. This is one thing that's not in our hands. But you have good parents. Something to be thankful for. It should make us happy. All right? Giving instead of receiving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. As a kid, I never understood that one. It's like, well, you know, I'm willing to take the hit. You go ahead and give everything to me. All right, I'll let you have the blessing. but no, God says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Our flesh runs straight against that. We want to accumulate to ourselves. And God says, no, give to others. The Bible says, enduring temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, adversity and trials and problems. You endure that, you're happy. All right, other places it talks about suffering for righteousness, which we already saw. All right, so the point is, there's a lot of things on that list that the Bible connects with us being happy. I'm going to read down through the list very quickly and then read down through some things that God never connects with us being happy. All right, and it's at least for me, it's useful to think about where my focus is too often. All right, so these are the things we saw. Poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hunger and thirst after righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, persecuted for righteousness' sake, trusting God, obeying God, fearing God, corrected by God, sins are forgiven, considers the poor, dwelling in God's house, not offended in Jesus, children, good parents, giving instead of receiving, enduring temptation. That's not completely comprehensive, but that's a large bulk of the things that Bible directly connects to making us happy. Now let me go down through some things that aren't on the list. Intelligence. Someone say, all right, we're safe. Physical strength or ability. You're the clumsiest person in the room. You can still be happy. Everyone else will be happy watching you, but you can be happy as well. Things. Not on there. Popularity. Money. Prestige. This one's hard for me. Good food. All right. Good. It's not on the list, though. A position of power. Good grades at school. Good personality. Games. Digital or otherwise. Sports. Entertainment, movies, those, God never points to those and says, blessed is the man that, and then, you know, list your favorite sports team or list your favorite game or list your favorite whatever. It's not there. Those things do not make us happy. God gave us a list. All right, let's go back through the preliminary things to remind ourselves. So first of all, he said that we're looking in the owner's manual. Again, don't let yourself second-guess God. This is God telling us what makes us happy. God doesn't tell us to directly seek after happiness. He does want us to be happy, but God didn't say, go out and be happy. He said, go out and serve me, go out and obey me, and there'll be happiness there. But it's not something that we seek after in and of itself. We don't need everything on that list to be happy. Most of the things on that list are within our control or in God's control. We can't point to other people and say, I'm miserable because of them. I've been there. All right, someone does something, and you're so irritated with them. I can be happy. Doesn't matter what other people do. I can be happy. Spent an hour and 15 minutes on the phone today trying to settle a thing with a credit card. And in the end, they hung up on me. You know, I was like, not a happy camper. Right? But that's not the source of my happiness. If I never see the money again, it's just money. Right? It's in my hands if I'm going to be happy. Or in God's hands, despite the bad things that might come of you. Physical things are not on the list. They're not going to make us happy. And then if you're not happy, then you need to adjust something. Right? It could be some sin. Well, in the end, it's going to be sin. It could be you not appreciating the fact that you're saved and going to heaven. It could be you being jealous of other people around you or bitter and angry or seeking after the world. There's something wrong if you're miserable, if you're saved. God wants us to be happy. If you're miserable, what needs to change? What attitude, what actions, what focus, what needs to change? Happiness. God wants us to be happy. It shouldn't be the goal of our life, but if we're serving and pleasing Him, it should be there, a life of happiness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and how we can look into it. Thank you that you do want us to live a happy life, but that comes from serving and pleasing you. Lord, we ask that we would do that. Help us to analyze the places where we let ourselves be miserable and things that drag us away from that place of happiness that you want us in. Lord, we thank you for our church. We ask that you'd continue to bless it and bless our evening together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.